We'll do it live.
Okay.
Well, no. We'll do it live. Fuck it.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Eddie's Wall Live on Facebook here in Southern California at the Transworld Snowboarding Studios. The best part about being live is the fact that you can comment in your questions so that you can ask the guest. So it's not just my interview, it's also your interview. Today, getting right into it, we have a very special guest for you guys. This is one of, I would say, the most influential professional snowboarders of all time. 20-year career, so 20 years professional, and every single one of those years he has had a gnarly video part. So 20 years, 20 video parts. I would say that that's one of the biggest accomplishments out of any professional snowboarder. Please put your hands together for Mr. Jeremy Jones.
Eddie?
Hello. Hello, Jeremy.
Good crowd,
right? These guys are awesome, man. All right. They're very poignant, this crowd here. All right. So, Jeremy, how are you?
I'm good, man. Thanks for that intro. That was heavy.
Yeah, no. Well,
appreciate it.
You're pretty, you've had a pretty heavy career, if I may say so. We start off every episode kind of the same, and that is, how did you start out? Growing up, where'd you grow up? How'd you get into riding? Things like that.
Grew up in Utah, Farmington, kind of north of Salt Lake there, little town, and started snowboarding just from skateboarding.
Mm-hmm.
Was cold in the winter, slams on the skate hurt, you know, concrete in the hands, and so I took my trucks off and rubber tired, you know, bicycle tubes, and then nailed them into the deck and started riding in my buddy's backyard goalie, pretty much.
So that was
kind of the start.
Oh, and what year was that, or how old were you?
That was 7th grade, so that was 91.
Wow. Okay, so 91, and, you know, I don't know, I mean, I think a lot of people know that you are...
89, 90, sorry.
89?
Yeah,
Are really good friends, obviously, and have done a lot of work with JP Walker, but I think one interesting thing is that didn't you guys meet right when you guys were really young, or... Two years
after that, yep. We met. After I started snowboarding, and then I met him, his mom moved into Farmington, into the town from Salt Lake, and
yep. Then
I actually met JP out in front of a supermarket skating, and he was skating this curb that I always skated, and I was always the only one skating it, and
yep.
So I was actually walking home and saw him skating it, and kind of rubbed me wrong at first because it was like my zone, my territory. And so
yeah.
Who's this homie on my curb, really?
Yeah, yeah.
So I went and you know, started chatting with JP, and we had a little session on the curb, and he was doing little nose picks, you know, ollie and nose picks,
yeah.
Indy out off of the curb. And, you know, he just earned my respect right there. And then I knocked on his door the next week, and then he started snowboarding that season, because we started going to school together, and then
yeah
so from there it kind of went. That was 9th grade.
That's, I mean, I think that's pretty crazy, not to like just jump way forward, but what is that like? I mean, I think it's pretty rare for two kids to meet in, you know, the 7th or 8th grade and then go through and they both, you know, turn pro, both ride for the same teams, both, you know, just end up being super iconic to the sport. What's that like?
I mean, it's just my homie.
Right,
know?
Yeah, because so it's kind of normal for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, like
right,
when yeah. I can step out of it enough to kind of look at it like that and see how those cards kind of played. But, I mean, that was just my homie. Like, we fueled each other, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I got pumped off his riding, off of his skating. I got pumped off his attitude. And in turn, I think I gave him sort of the same thing, and so it was just never anything that was going to end, really,
because
yep. It was just, you know, our scuffles have been not even a handful,
right.
It's like one or two in our whole career, and it's
yeah.
like, you know, you don't get that.
Yeah, no, I, not at all. That's amazing. So So now you start riding when you're, just kind of before high school and getting into high school. At what point did you start getting good enough to get some sponsors, and how did you kind of go about that? Because obviously that was more towards the beginning of snowboarding,
right?
In some sense,
you know? Now there's sort of a format, right? You can hit these certain contests, and I mean, whether you're going to be a contest or film guy, that's sort of how your name starts to get on the map, you know? And it kind of was back then too, but it was really just who you ran into and who you knew. Mm-hmm. And then if you were a good snowboarder, then that was just sort of your fast track, right? Like, because you could just be a snowboarder and make a little bit of money back then, it seemed like,
right,
you know?
Right.
Because it was just looking for snowboarders.
Right.
And then, so I actually met Ben Pruce, who was a racer, and he started working for this company, Revelation, mm-hmm. out of Canada. And so I rode with him through a connection of another friend, Fritz, at Brighton. Mm-hmm. And I was on a little company from Idaho called Yama Snowboards, and it was just a dude that hooked me up with a board. I don't remember his name or anything, but
yeah.
So I left Yama
for
Revelation. Once I rode with Ben, he just sort of hooked it up and hit me up a few weeks later and was like, I like your style, let's do this. And so Rev started, and then, you know, that's where we first started to see a couple $100 here and there. So
right.
And then from there I pulled JP in. He was on Standard, and I got Mitch and JP both on Rev, and then that sort of started the whole kind of our package, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And so did that lead up into getting onto Forum, or was there anything in between those?
So once Rev kind of pulled the plug, JP started with Forum kind of right away. That was sort of a seamless transition for him, and then not for me. It took me about a year and a half before I was over there.
Okay.
Pete and Dogger called up JP right away, and they had their eyes on him for a minute,
right.
You know, and he had a good season with Whitey the mm-hmm. first year that me and him shot with him. He had a really good season and put out a really good part that year, and so he had all eyes on him right then, you know. And so he
was that Brown Trout.
No, that was Kingpin Chronicles. Oh. Well, there's Kingpin Chronicles. We shared a part.
Okay.
Hold on, let me just think this through a little bit. So it was a shared part, but he definitely had the stronger portion of that section.
Right.
And then, yeah, I don't know. My timeline is altered right now in my head.
Yeah, no, it's pretty hard to think back, but yeah.
So anyway, that's sort of how that formulated, and so then we're into Simple Pleasures year,
mm-hmm.
and then I started just kind of piggybacking JP shoots,
right?
And so, and I was riding a Joyride, I was riding just a few other random boards, you know, with no real support, and then I think JP just kind of returned the favor and started, you know, flossing my name and kind of pulling me into those shoots more and more, and sort of sold Peter on the idea, which took a little bit of time, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So before we get into the Forum days, because obviously that's a really big subject, let's take some questions. If you guys are just tuning in, you're watching Eddie's Wall. We're filming live here on Facebook, coming from Southern California at the Transworld Snowboarding Studios with Jeremy Jones, amazing snowboarder guy here.
You're nice.
Okay, let's get through here. Some questions from you guys. Mawus Akoli, Jeremy Jones, or Jeremy, what was the hardest time you've had filming a video part? Like, was there one video part that maybe gave you the biggest struggle, or?
Biggest struggle would have been technical difficulties. I had a back injury that I fought for about 18 months prior to that film, and I only got about half a season, and the back still wasn't fixed, and it was just a painful year. So mm-hmm. But that was kind of my first.
Yeah, because that was one of your first.
That was my first part with MDP, and so it was just like,
because that was right after Simple Pleasures, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So I had to just chill. And Simple Pleasures, I had a small part in, but I was, that's where the back injury started.
Right.
So it was just sort of this, Simple was good. Well, actually, I ended up with no footage in Simple. That's what it was, because I got hurt and I had a couple shots and then technical came, and so I wanted to do well.
Yeah.
And I didn't, and I got, you know, half a part in there, and luckily.
Right.
And, you know, but I thought I killed it. I was like, oh, I murked it. Like, I got a good part. And then he's sitting in the edit bay with Dogger, and he's just like, yo, that's clip, dog.
Oh,
he just hacked the whole thing, and we were enemies for about a week. Well, it was maybe more that I was just an enemy of him.
Right.
But he was just shooting straight.
Yeah, I mean.
The footage didn't stand up, and he wasn't putting it in his film.
That's gnarly. Okay, drink water. What's it going to take to get you out to the next rat race?
You guys got to time it different. It's always my boy's birthday.
Well, that's a good excuse,
though. And last year I would have made it, but I had a broken hand.
All right.
But I told you guys that, too. But it's just a bunch of excuses. Change the date.
Change the
week date. Later, week before, I'm in.
Let's see. TRJJ. What is the best line you have ever told a cop to keep you from getting busted at a street spot? And that's by Ken Mizico. Mizico. That's pretty good. I mean, you guys have had some pretty cool techniques, like where you've gone to cut down rails or de-knob rails and you wear all the construction gear.
Right, the RLU, yeah. Rail Liberation Unit. Yeah. That was a good one. That was a good crew, a good little era there. We were liberating all the rails. And for the record, we never cut down rails.
No.
We only liberated them so that everyone could shred them.
Right.
That was the goal.
I like that. Okay.
And then, what was the question?
Oh, the question was, have you ever actually had to tell a cop?
Oh, the best line.
The best line.
I don't know that I remember a single line, but
right.
In my experience, I just negotiate with them. If you're super cool and you just start talking to the cops.
Yeah.
They talk right back, and if there's no name calling, and even when they come in hot and like tick you off, you just pump the brakes and be a yes man, and next thing you know, you got, you know, at least one more try.
Yeah, absolutely.
And best case scenario, your session just keeps going. So
perfect. Let's see, Garrett Joseph, how do you feel about the other Jeremy Jones? And I actually had this in my notes here to ask you, because it would be a little weird to have a pro career and then not out of nowhere, but then again, then there's another person with the exact same name and the confusion and social media and video parts. And it's just kind of, it seems like it would be a bit difficult, to have someone with the exact same name as another big name pro snowboarder. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, Jeremy is a person. I don't know him super well. We're not super close, but we've only had solid interaction. And so there's just no beef, you know, despite like what anyone has wanted over the course of 20 years. But I mean, we've ran the same course.
Right.
We've both been pros for 20 years. You know, we've done Jeremy versus Jeremy articles before, you know, we've had some fun with it, and it's not until, I mean, I know who I am. Mm-hmm. I know the difference. He knows the difference, you know, and I think if anything, it probably favors both of us at this point. And especially the way the social and the media outlets are happening now, it's kind of hard to separate it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And where back when, I mean, it used to be separated.
Right. Totally.
Entirely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like you kind of just knew one or the other, or you knew both.
Right.
And now I'll get people coming up and they'll be calling out tricks from my video parts.
Right.
And then in the same sentence, they'll tell me how rad something is from his video part.
Right, right.
And it's just, I mean, at that point, you're like, well, he's watching both of us.
Right, yeah.
And so we'll just let it ride.
Cool, perfect. Barry Scott, what is your favorite video part? Or what are some of your favorite video parts?
Little Shakedown. That was kind of a breakout part for me where I really sort of feel like I put myself on the map as myself, not like a package or a Forum 8 guy. It was just sort of my breakout part.
Was that your first part after Forum?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get we got to get into that. But
and then the B. The B is probably one of my favorite parts.
Oh, rad. Okay, that's amazing. I have a lot of questions, but these guys are pumping through tons of questions. So let's keep going to their questions. Jason Song, what type of bikes do you own? What are the bikes that you have? Now, there's two different bike disciplines that you partake in, right?
Right.
So you have one with a motor and one's without.
Right. So I have the choppers, the Harleys, the Sportsters, what I like. I kind of just have my one right now, just the one original chopper I bought in, or I bought a Sportster in 2002.
Was that your first motorcycle?
That
ever?
Was my first motorcycle.
Okay.
And then I just gutted the whole thing, and it went through a few versions, but now it's just a hard-tailed chopper, and
okay.
The only thing original is the motor, really, and even that I upgraded, so it's kind of only half original. And then,
and you learned how to work on it yourself, or did you have?
Yeah, I mean, I do. There's some like motor stuff. I'm not super tech about it, and so if I don't think I can do it, then
take it in.
I have a friend that I have work on it, and then a lot of my stuff that I want fabbed really well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll do little hack job stuff, but if I want it done right, then I have people that
What about the mountain bikes or BMXing? Because I see on your Instagram that you do a lot of pretty gnarly mountain bike stuff.
Yeah, kind of into the mountain biking now.
A lot of people have been getting into it.
Yeah, right? I mean, the fitness is great, but aside from that, it's just the speed.
Yeah,
it's insane, and the bikes are so cushy. Those little squishy bikes. It's just like, it just feels.
You know what's
crazy?
A
lot like snowboarding to me.
So I was talking to Seth Hewitt, but also like Ika Backstrom, Pat Moore, all of these guys are biking a lot. And I think Ika was saying, or maybe Pat, I forget, but was saying that when you're cruising down trails and you're going by trees and stuff, that it actually, you just feel like you're snowboarding.
Yeah.
And so that's pretty neat, because I would never really associate biking with snowboarding.
Well, and you're comfortable with the speed. So
that's
been my biggest thing, is learning to trust the bike, and because I can rip through the trees on my snowboard, and I know I can trust my board,
right.
And I'm not there on a bike yet where I can handle it. I'm not afraid of the speed,
right,
but I know I'll explode in that turn,
yeah,
because I don't.
Have you had any gnarly falls?
Yeah, usually a good one every time you go. I mean, it's just like skating, like
right,
or snowboarding. Yeah. If you're trying something, like you're gonna pack,
know? Yeah. Okay, Frank Stringhill, what are your current sponsors?
Mizu Life.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottles. We're looking good there. Nixon Watches, Electric Eyewear.
Yep.
Shop sponsor, Milo Sport, Nitro, board sponsor. Who else do we got? My Package throws me some undies here and there.
Nice.
Lots of people, like, shout out to Adidas and Etnies too. They kick me shoes.
Oh,
and so,
Nixon still?
Yes, Nixon
did
still.
You say that?
I said Nixon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So people just hook up the stuff that aren't like your real deal. So it's always good to hook them up with a thanks. So,
all right, Juliet Liverst, what is your favorite snowboard place? So what's your favorite place to snowboard? Kiss from the Netherlands. Ooh,
kiss.
Oh wait, hang on. Before I say ooh. Wait, is this thing still on? Oh, yes. Okay, wait, hang on.
Cute.
Kiss from the Netherlands. Yeah, our audience, they're a little slow.
They're slow. They're getting it. It's new.
So, favorite place to snowboard?
Brighton. I mean, that's just, I've been lots of places and I've ridden really great terrain and snow and filmed amazing places, but Brighton's just, I mean, I can get the most out of a powder day there. I know it well.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like home. It's just,
every hit, every
cliff. It's just the zone. I can go half a day there on a powder day and just get a season's worth almost, you know, it's just, that's just the real deal.
That's like,
it's just home.
All right. Well, Brighton, there you go. Tom, Jan, Hogg, Leonard, Switz. Great question. Would you rather have 4 eyes or 10 legs?
Mm.
And this is a
good lead in here.
This is a good lead in to something we were discussing before the show.
4 eyes or 10 legs?
Yeah.
Four eyes for sure.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. 10 legs would just be kind of awkward.
Yeah, that just seems like, I mean, that's back to our conversation. Like, 10 legs I'd need money for. So, 4 eyes I could just roll with, you know.
So we were talking about earlier how much it would cost to have your leg amputated at the knee. And, you know, we had a lot of discussion. Was it below the knee, above the knee? Was it hacked off, or do you get it in a surgery? Yeah. How about, what would it cost?
I don't know. I mean, I'd, you know, cash in front of you is different.
Right.
It plays a different role.
Right.
And then when we had evolved our conversation into where we were going with it, that we'll keep a little bit discreet right now.
Oh, yeah. Big things.
It sort of changed things because it started to make it a little more real for me.
Right.
And then the fear started kicking in. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. But we were discussing $10 million. Would be fair for...
Yeah, after taxes.
After, like, this is cash money right here. Yeah. 10 mil, you know, lose a leg, can afford a, you know, absolute best limb from there. And
yeah.
I don't know, that's pretty decent.
Yeah, 10 mil. All right.
It could pay me the rest of my life.
Four eyes, half a leg, and $10 million.
Yeah,
there you go.
Not bad.
The new Jeremy Jones. Sean Walker, do you still skateboard?
I do.
Yeah. And you skateboard a lot, you know, and I think... I mean, I've always looked up to your skating. I remember... Was that in Shakedown when you started your part off with the back-to-back skate stuff?
That was Shakedown.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, super good skateboarder. You have it on your Instagram, right?
I do. I'm rusty now.
Yeah.
Injury. Slow to start this year. Some injuries I was rehabbing from the season. So
yeah,
I just got back on the deck only a week ago, actually. So
okay,
little rusty. So I wouldn't.
Yeah.
It won't be on the Instagram yet.
Okay. All right. Jeremy Barker, True Life and Chulk Smack were such a huge videos for me growing up. How did it feel to be part of those? And actually, let's just start with True Life, because I wanted to start off, you know, you got on Forum, you know, you were with Peter and JP and Bjorn and the original Forum 8, which I would say is the most influential team or group of guys of all time. That was just unreal. And you guys, first you did Resistance, and then you did True Life, which I also think were two of the gnarliest videos that just ever dropped. What was it like being part of that at that time, you know? I feel like it's almost as if you were Led Zeppelin at the time of being Led Zeppelin, you know?
Well, I mean, at the time, like, we were just in the zone, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Dogger was in the zone. He wanted to put a video out that changed things, you know, and then we had Sean Kearns directing those projects too, and he was the same. He's just like, you know, let's flip this. Mm-hmm. And we heard the same, let's do it kind of like skate, let's do a team video,
right?
You know, and because before it was all independent film companies and sponsors just bought in all their writers, right?
Yeah.
And that was the formula back then. And so for us, it was just, Let's do a team video. We got what we think is the raddest group of dudes in filming.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just go make something rad. And that was it. I mean, was our headspace.
Those a bit, when you were filming, was it serious? Was it stressful? Or was it more of just this new thing where you guys were just going at it? And because I know later, I feel like it starts to get stressful when you have to back up that type
of
video.
There's always that stress because the stress comes on a ton of levels. Not, you know, you want to do your best,
right?
So you got your own personal weight, and then you have the weight of the people funding it, you know, which was Forum Snowboards then. And
yeah,
they got a lot invested in on the film end, they got a lot invested on the writers, and so you have that stress. And but really it was just like, this is our time. Like, this is our platform to film good video parts and see where that takes us. And
yep.
I mean, it wasn't this massive long-term thought out plan. It was just like, let's crush this project and let's do it right. And everyone was in on it. And like, there wasn't one person on that team that slacked, you know,
right,
in either one of those years. I'd say everyone gave it everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it showed, obviously. Aero Niemela. How do I get an invite to ride the spot?
You're invited.
Well, there you go, dog. You just got an invite on live television.
You know that?
That is so cool. why don't we talk about the spot a little bit for those people who don't know what it is or do but want to hear more about it?
The spot just started. It was a bigger group, but it's essentially me, JP, and Seth now. But like Cooley was in on the front end, Mitch Nilsson, Hebel was there, Justin Hebel.
Wow, that's cool.
So we had a good little group, started in Guardsmen. We just started building stuff for preseason jibbing, essentially just warm up for the streets is what we always would say. Let's go warm up for the streets. And found this little place tucked away, started building stuff, and then it sort of just became the spot.
Right.
We gave it a name maybe a couple years later, you know, and then got a little more serious, built huts. But it's really just a preseason training facility.
Yeah, so how...
I mean, training's even a bad word. It's just sort of like...
A place to go session.
Yeah,
right.
we just get our feet under
us. It's a DIY park.
A DIY park before we start filming.
Right. So, I was curious because now it says like the spot Brighton or
So we moved. The Forest Service came in and
nixed it.
Just kind of shut it down against our will with chainsaws and manpower bending everything. It was brutal. And then we just sparked a relationship with Brighton. I mean, we've all had a good one with them.
Right.
Jared Winkler at Brighton just started working with us, and he's supported us and keeping it alive and keeping it good. And I mean, we still have to keep it a little bit low key.
That's what I was curious about, because obviously it isn't open to the public, right? Because
I mean, it's no one's really banned from there.
Right.
If you come up on it, we can't stop you.
Right.
You know,
right.
But it's not, you know, the Bone Zone has their thing at Brighton where it's front and center.
Yeah.
It's all access.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
And they have that going, you know.
Cool.
And so ours is just a little more misty. And,
yep. Perfect.
But, you know, people get invites all the time, and it's not as exclusive as it seems.
Okay. Jerry Lee Sosaroth, have you ever put a sausage into a blender? That is a random-ass question.
And I haven't. But I did make a meat shake once, but I didn't put a sausage in.
That sounds horrible. What
was this band? It was called Ugly Duckling, these little white rapper dudes, and they had a song called Meat Shake, and in the song they actually list the ingredients. So I tried it once and it was awful. But there was no sausage. It was just ground beef.
That's gnarly. That's so gnarly.
And mayo.
Oh, ground beef and mayo. That's yeah. Ground beef and mayo.
You guys got it.
Oh man.
Oh, a little quicker that time.
That was good. That was good. Okay, so Lucas Vinicius, what's your favorite board?
Snowboard?
Yeah.
My favorite one that I've ever done. What's my favorite pro model? Let's redirect
that.
That's
a little easier.
I did this board I called the Dude.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a full bleed graphic of a dude.
Oh, with the tight blue jeans?
Yeah, and he was sort of a hodgepodge dude. It was like, he sort of had some gangster stees. He sort of had some hipster stees. He was like the confused dude. He wanted a piece of everything, you know? And so I did that graphic, and that board itself and the construction and the way we designed that one, that's my favorite one, I think, of all time.
Okay. The Dude.
The Dude.
Yeah, I'm. That's a pretty well-known board graph. It's a pretty obvious. Like, I remember that board, you know, very clearly.
Yeah, it was a pretty prominent.
You know,
graph,
someone does a method on that. You know that's the board.
Right.
You know? Let's see. Anzaj Dragon, how much do you love Bodie Merrill?
I love Bodie Merrill.
Okay. There we go.
I know where that's coming from.
Was there some stuff between you guys?
It's long gone and years old. And
they're just trying to get
me and Bodie are homies.
Just trying to get some drama.
Yeah, ultimate respect.
Okay, ultimate respect for Bodie.
Absolutely.
And because you know you're a pretty opinionated guy. I mean, I think you're nice, but you're not really afraid to say. So like, I think you had some interviews once where you kind of were like calling out female snowboarding. Do you know?
I mean, that's the way people read it, I think. Okay. But okay. I don't know that I was calling it out more than I was just kind of stating the
where it was at
okay. the time. Cool. You know, but you know how it goes. You just touch on touchy subjects and
then
it fires back quick.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Patrick McGuire, can I ever expect another MacDog film? That's a good point. I wonder, is Dogger doing films?
I don't know. I would. It would be sick. Someone in the crowd just said sick.
Someone in the crowd was like, "That'd be sick."
It would be sick. I can't say because that's an MDP decision, not mine. But it would be nice, and I would be on the roster. At least I'd try to be.
Yeah. Okay. Adam Sayre, what's a better feeling, landing a hard skate trick or a hard snowboard trick?
Depends on the trick, really. I think it could go either way. I mean, snowboarding, you know, if you're battling something.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I'd go with snowboarding just because I've had the experience more in snowboarding where I've just grinded for a trick.
Yeah.
On camera.
Right.
You know, and when you actually get that make.
Yeah.
That's like untouchable.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. And skating, I've never really worked at that level.
To get.
Yeah. I mean, I've battled a trick skating and,
right.
and there's a, you know, a huge reward if you make it, but I guess just the stress of having the crew behind you.
Yeah.
And then when you make it, you satisfy them as well. So you're like,
yeah,
it's just, that's just a good deal.
Cool.
So snowboarding.
Snowboarding it is. Kevin Ross, what is the most underrated spot to shred in North America? Oh, wait, hang on. Wait.
Underrated?
Keep thinking. Where is it? Oh. Most underrated spot to shred in North America.
It is a little Jeopardy-ish, isn't it?
I'm just having so much fun.
I don't know that I know that. I don't know that. I mean, the thing with spots is if it's underrated,
you don't want to say it.
And
so there you go.
Yeah.
Okay. So Alexander Ricker, curious how you, Hobbs, and Stone hooked up. Future plans on Bolts, another trip like CR 2013 in the works. And first, explain what
he's
Bolts
a good
is.
He's a good follower. I see his name at the line. So thanks, okay. Doug. Thanks, Doug.
What is Bolts?
Bolts is just sort of a moto forum that me, Hobbs, Stone, and Seth started, and it's really just a community, mm-hmm. more or less. It's turned into a brand, but it's really an identity more than anything.
And is it more into motorcycles?
It's
right?
it's all moto,
group of motorcycle guys who all hang up. Is it a motorcycle gang? Is what I'm. No,
we've had moments of some serious gang activity.
Right, right.
No, we're chill. We just, you know, it's just about cruising. It was about gathering people to ride more. And it's been about 7 years now, and I think it's succeeded in that. You know, Utah has a strong kind of chopper moto community, mm-hmm. and it's not because of that, but we feel good that we supported that well,
yep.
you know, and brought a new light to it and kind of got a different group of people looking at motorcycles in Salt Lake anyway. And
yep.
So that's what that is.
Okay, cool. If you're just tuning in, you're watching Eddie's Wall here in Southern California at the Transworld Snowboarding Studios. We have Jeremy Jones, 20-year career, 20 video parts, a video part every year for his whole career, which is mental. I think that's more impressive. And just last year, you got an X Games medal, right?
It was the year, last year, me and you, the work on that one.
That's
so
right.
Would that be last year that me and you did that?
I guess so.
So then it was the
confused.
Year. Yeah, the year before.
Okay.
So two real streets ago.
Right.
Finally got my medal, dude.
Boom. Nux.
From like steady last places for years.
But that's insane. And how old are you now?
40.
You're 40 years old. Yeah. Man, that is so badass. So actually, on that note, still snowboarding a ton, obviously. Mountain biking, skating, what is your advice to people who are getting older? Actually, a lot of the demographic for watching this is 25 to 35 and then even older. What is your, and 18 to 25, not leaving anybody out here. What is your advice to people getting older and to continue to do these sports that are pretty hard on your body?
I mean, to me, I just keep doing it.
Yeah.
That, like, it's when I stop that it just adds up, you know? Right. And if I stop for too long, then I don't want to start again.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, it's just keeping steady, yeah. Not overdoing it, but you learn, you know, you learn what's going to kill you and what's not
right.
by the time you're 40. I mean, I don't know that I've fully learned that yet, but I'm getting there
right.
closer.
Right. You're slowly growing up.
I'm slowly growing up, but you know, you just learn. And so there's, you just calculate it a little more.
Yeah.
That's old right there. Just yeah. the fact that I process what I'm going to do in the morning, you know?
Right, but that's great.
It is what it is. I mean, that's how I keep doing it.
I had a very embarrassing thing happen 2 days ago. I made arrangements with somebody to skate on Saturday, and I put it in my calendar, like skateboard on Saturday at 1 p.m.
Skate day, 1 p.m.
And I was like, as I was writing that, I thought, holy shit, I'm old.
Hey, you don't even have kids yet.
No, knock on wood.
Oh, you're done.
I'm done. So, yeah, scheduling out skateboarding on a calendar. Oh, this is crazy.
That's
okay.
Real, dude. That's real.
It's real life. Okay, yeah. So Daniel T., what's your opinion on the whole Alta/snowboard lawsuit stuff?
I don't really
know much about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no opinion.
Okay.
I mean,
are people trying to, because Alta's skiing only?
Yeah, snow. There's a group of snowboarders
trying to
and
get
lawyers that are trying to
yeah
just fight Alta constantly, but
yeah.
I don't care. It's too close to home for me to put my name on
right.
that kind of a battle.
Totally.
And I'm not interested. If they don't want it, then
yeah, yeah.
I got Brighton. I got other places. I got Snowbird. We can go anywhere.
Yep.
So,
What feature or spot has been the toughest mental challenge for you, Jerome Kuntz?
Jerome. Jerome's a G.
Okay.
He started MacDog out in Minnesota for us.
Oh.
I actually got to give him props. Super random, but Dogger hooked up with him.
Okay.
And he was one of the first dudes that we ever ran into like 15 years ago.
Whoa. All right. Well, props to Jerome.
So, feature.
Yeah. Maybe like, what's like one of maybe the gnarliest rails or tricks that you can just kind of think in your head was maybe one of the scariest or most challenging? I mean, there's probably a lot, actually.
Yeah, well, scariest and most challenging, I think, are the scariest thing I did was in Alaska in 13, Burton movie 13. I came off of, like, a rail, and there was a sidewalk gap, and I did a wall splat, but it was just, like, out to the wall and then back over the same gap.
Oh, that's right,
training.
Like this, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you mess up, you would fall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that one was pretty scary.
Because that's kind of all or nothing.
It's all or nothing, and it wasn't that much of a battle. It was maybe four or five tries, and one good ringer, like, you know.
Yeah, because you hit the
close, or whatever you'd call it.
Yeah.
Scorpion through the bar.
Right.
But that was the scariest, and then the biggest battle I had was this spinner. I was doing a frontside three shove it just off a straight drop in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was Washington Elementary. Everyone knows that school if they're a boarder. And it took me like 60 tries. Two different sessions of, I think, 31 tries. Brad Kramer, if you're watching, you can chime in. He did an edit of it all, and it was
just
a battle. And it was a, you know, one of those shove it things, which was just kind of dumb anyway, but kind of cool. And then, it was just a battle.
Yeah, on that note, you had a while where you know, you did the 1 foot with the swivel, and then you also just had a lot of stuff with just 1 foot, you know, doing fast plants and everything like that. Do you still do that stuff? What did you think looking back on that? Do you still like it? Or do you know?
Yeah, I mean, I keep thinking about bringing the spinner thing back, you know, because it was fun. Like, I mean, some of those tricks, like some of my favorite tricks was in Minnesota. I have a front board 360 shove transfer on a concrete ledge, and that was like one of the coolest feeling things I've ever done,
right?
Because I could feel the skating in it a little bit,
right.
You know, but it was just so different.
Right.
Wasn't anything like skating. And then yeah, the 1 foot stuff. I just like it. It's a way that I've been able to kind of move around and do some, change up my parts.
Yeah, you know? And kind of keep things fresh, you know.
Because I want each one of my parts to be a little different from the last.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, you get stuck in your things, you know. I do a lot of wall stuff, and
right.
And I mean, it's not like I'm oblivious to that, but it's, you know, you gravitate to what you like.
Yeah.
But you got to change it up a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Cody Nesbitt has living a life in the snowboard world while living a relatively party-free life been hard on your career or your whole life? So yeah, snowboarding world obviously has a lot of partying to it. And also, kind of on that, did that ever play into effect with Forum? Because obviously Forum was almost kind of like rock star days where there was a lot of partying,
right,
and stuff. So
Forum was the hardest,
right,
in terms of that, but it wasn't that anyone was leaning on me to do it.
Right.
It was just that it was
there.
It was so much more there.
Right.
You know, and it was and I was trying to find my place in snowboarding at the same time and
right.
what that meant.
Yep.
And so do I go party? Do I not party? Do I just hang with these dudes when they're partying?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And so that was navigating that and keeping those relationships was a little tricky in that
yep.
in that era, but I learned it there.
Right.
And then so moving past that, it was never an issue really.
Right.
I mean, you don't get called for certain things for sure. You miss out on, I mean, there's a grip of things that I would have loved to have been a part of that I wasn't, just because I wasn't part of that scene.
Right.
And that's just the way it is. There's, you know, that's how, I don't know, people just naturally get stoked on that. Little drunk talk turns into an interview the next day. You never
yeah.
know, you know? And
100%.
So you miss out on that kind of stuff. But
yeah.
I mean, I've been here for a minute, so
yeah.
I'm not...
You're not missing out on too much.
You know, I'm navigating it okay,
yeah.
I think.
And you're 40 and super healthy.
Right.
Which so. Might not have been the case if you're just...
It was worth its battles, I'd say.
Yeah. So kind of on that same subject, you leaving Forum, you know, part of the Forum 8 and then Forum's getting a lot bigger... And then you left Forum. You were one of, I would say, the first guys who, maybe the first guy who really made the conscious decision to leave after Vile, but he left right away. But what was that like? Or maybe why did you want to leave?
I don't know that I ever thought about wanting to leave.
Okay.
There was stuff in that was happening that I wasn't happy with, but I loved my dudes.
Right.
You know, like, our group was tight, and so to leave that wasn't really an option, so I never really thought about it. But
mm-hmm.
then Downing kind of presented it to me.
Right.
And he actually presented it to me and JP, and I took the bait.
Right.
Because it was the timing was right.
Yep.
It felt good.
Yep.
It was just more solid.
Right.
In cool. terms of business at that point. You know?
Yeah. So then, obviously, you had a very long career with Burton. And then next question, Adam Ryle, what's life like after Burton? So when you're finished with Burton, was it big change for you? Is it just, I mean, I guess it's just the natural progression. Eventually, you move on from sponsors like everybody does. But
yeah, I mean, it's a big change. That was 12 years of my career, you know?
Right.
Yeah, it's a big change.
Yeah.
You know, and navigating it different, and there's, I mean, I have a huge Burton tag on my back, like, regardless,
right.
whether I'm there or not,
right.
you know, there's just, I mean, same with the Forum one, you know,
yeah.
but I have 12 years of something different to
right.
offset that a little bit,
right.
so it becomes just a phase.
Yep.
And we're starting to move into that with the Burton stuff slowly, so
mm-hmm.
I'm starting to see it sort of peter off, and that attachment not being so thick, you know, so
yep.
It's different, but it's you know, it's fun to have some change, and it's
yeah.
it's fun to just sort of have to deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Garrett Joseph, all-time favorite style of a rider. Like who do you look up to as far as style?
I got to go with JP.
The
really,
Don.
Yeah,
the Don himself.
Just the Don. I mean, he was just always had the package for me. You
yep.
know, the natural talent, the it was just unmatched. You know, yeah. There's few I've seen, like Terrier's one, yeah. Heikki Sorsa was one.
Right.
You know, those people just, they don't even have to, it's like they can just be emailing and just doing the gnarliest things in the world. They don't even,
right.
It's just easy. Sorry, JP, he hates it when I say that, but.
So we're 45 minutes in, and we have a couple more questions. So let's try to rifle through these ones, just like so we can answer everybody's questions. Because thank you guys so much for watching and for all of your participation. You made this really easy.
Heck yeah.
Let's see. Did you ever ride with Louis Fountain back in the day? I saw you two both filming for MacDog, but never the same hits. Alex Booth. Good eye.
I did. I rode with Louis quite a bit for a year or two. Cool. We became pretty good friends, and then he disappeared. I haven't seen him for a long time.
Same here.
But
amazing dude.
Huge fan.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the best.
Huge fan.
Carl Juthens, coffee or tea?
Tea.
Tea. Do you drink coffee?
No.
No. Have you ever?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
For sure.
Yeah. Coffee makes me feel crazy.
Jittery.
Yeah. Super jittery. My brain's already like a ping pong ball. Okay. Barry Scott, any tricks you've not been able to do and still want to do? Triple cork. I answered it for him.
No, yeah, triple cork.
Just kidding.
No interest. I don't know. I just always wish I was better at back lips.
Oh, perfect.
If I just had a good back lip, I would take it.
Yeah, that's a good answer. Nikolai Belica. Oh, what is your favorite trick?
Just a turn.
Turning.
Yeah, I mean, that's the basis of it. So if I can turn the rest of my life, I think we'll be styling. Because then, you can always get in a bird and go ride some powder and make turns. And that feels pretty awesome.
Right.
So I think we'll have to go with that.
Okay, turning. That's a good trick.
Turn's a trick.
It's funny. Last year we asked on Eddie's Wall what everyone's favorite trick was, and a lot of method was up there, but then a lot of people just said a pal slash.
A pal slash.
And that is such a good feeling. Corey Thomas, what was your favorite MacDog part to film for?
MacDog part would have been Resistance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Jerry Lee Susseroth, what's the first trick you've had to grind out? Maybe
the first one?
Maybe the first trick that gave you troubles or something?
First filming trouble. No idea.
Okay. Garrett Joseph, how long did that loop ledge take? Oh, yes, because we had some footage running over
this. We had the loop running.
There's a loop ledge.
Not long. The build took forever. I think we spent 3/4 of our day trying to build that. And then we had to move rocks and tow them out of the way, and they were frozen in the ground. And then tries, I mean, it was a good little punch, maybe 10, 12 tries or something.
All right. Eric Brunette, are you still a big advocate of positive camber boards?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Wes Groh, as a snowboarder leading the pack, who do you admire as a rider today? Well, probably JP Walker, but any younger guys that
I mean, young dude like Bodie.
Yeah.
For one, he's just kind of on another level.
He really is.
I mean, it's just sort of, he's maybe the best.
Yep.
And then there's a lot of those young kids. I'm not good with their names, but a lot of them are
ripping. Yeah.
Like this little redhead, long-haired monkey in Salt Lake is ripping. What's that little guy's name? Dial 9 for Swag was his Instagram handle.
That's a good Instagram.
What is your name, dude? What's his name? I think he changed his Insta handle anyway, but that dude rips. He's fun to watch. He rides with Sam Taxwood a lot.
Okay, perfect. Okay, a couple more questions. What?
Bilodeau.
Oh, Bilodeau. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Is that his name? Long red hair? Ben Bilodeau?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that dude's tight.
Wes Groh, as a snowboarder... Oh, we just read that one. Hunter Cook, where has your favorite place to ever film? Favorite place to ever film?
I'm going to have to go with Minnesota.
Yeah.
The Twin Cities. It's just given us too much footage over the years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Hunter Cook, where has been your favorite place to film? Oh, geez. Sorry, guys.
Same question.
Gonzalo Cofre, your favorite place to shred outside of the United States?
I'm gonna roll that to backcountry and just say posting up in Whistler for those last half of the season.
Yeah.
That's just the funnest terrain.
Yeah, Whistler.
Massive, gorgeous.
Endless.
Yeah.
Okay, two more questions. Alex Cohen, challenging yourself as a rider but staying a family man, how do you balance it best?
Just treat it like a job.
Yeah.
You know? Let the family know that I'm there and
and
they know it. They know it, they believe it, and so they don't trip.
Right.
They make it super easy for me. So
yeah.
I think I just planted those seeds early and made sure that they knew
right off
the
bat.
They were first. Yeah.
Right. Jason Shetler, you should get all the guys together and do another jib fest. Would that be possible?
It would be possible. It's always...
You guys did a bit of a reunion.
Yeah, we did a bit of a reunion, and we talk about it. It was just so good when we did it.
Right, it's almost like...
Yeah, that it's...
Yeah, it's like getting Motley Crue back together.
Yeah, it's like doing Dumb and Dumber again.
Oh,
you know?
That was a horrible idea.
Yeah. It was just so good that you don't...
Yeah, that's
it. I mean, that's it.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
So, any closing thoughts? Any things you're working on that you want to plug in the future? Any last words to the fans?
Just keep a lookout for the Videograss movie. They're on a year and a half project. So this actually broke my streak because I committed to a year and a half project. This will be the first year in 21 years that I didn't release a part in September.
All right.
So, but it will be my 21th part. When
21th.
That comes out in
the 21th part.
January-ish.
You know what I have to say, which I was going to mention earlier, but I have to thank you because in like 2001, I filmed my part for Promo Copy, and I got a voicemail after the part dropped from Jeremy Jones, and he was just like, hey, Eddie, like we just kind of knew each other a little bit, and you were like, dude, I just want to say like that part was really gnarly, and like big ups on that, and you know, da-da. And I've like never had a call like that in my whole career, and I've always thought of that. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Really appreciate that.
Yeah, of course.
Big inspiration.
You earned it.
All right, is that it?
I'm good.
All right.
Thank
you very much. Hey, if you guys want to keep watching this, you can click up into this corner here and turn your notifications on, so then you'll know when we're going live. You're not going to get 100 notifications, just a couple. This has been Eddie's Wall. We're going to have Jeremy sign the wall here. Throw me that marker right here. Boom. Okay. He's going to sign the wall. Please put your hands together once again for Jeremy Jones.
Thank you. Great crowd.
Amazing. You guys are amazing.
They were
drive home safe.